I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello? Biscuits, episode 33. We're going to cram about 3 weeks worth of stuff into this episode. I am Dave Lozo. I am one of your co-hosts, and you know who the other co-host is?
Hey guys, it's Sean McIndoe. I'm up here in Ottawa, where we're all very angry about Erik Karlsson not winning the Norris Trophy.
Especially you, the big Ottawa fan.
Yeah, being the big Senators fan that I am, I'm very unhappy, and I blame Toronto, and I blame the Maple Leafs.
A lot of people don't know this about Sean, but for all 33 episodes, he has worn a Chris Neal jersey. That's while right. Recording the episode. The whole Leafs thing is just a sham. Yeah. He started doing the fake Brian Burke Twitter, and then like he kind of had to commit to it when people found out about it. He's like, no, I'm a Leafs fan, I swear. But really, like hardcore.
It's a Chris Neal jersey, but I only wear it for like 2 minutes of every episode, but it's the best 2 minutes. Like the 2 minutes where you're like, wow, that was the turning point of the entire episode. That's where I had the Chris Neal jersey on.
Wait, is that why like you're always threatening me over email behind the scenes? Like you want to fight me all the yes. time? Is that where yeah. that comes from?
Where I say I'm going to randomly punch you in the face and that motivates everyone around me to do better at their jobs.
Yeah, Tim Barnes gets way better at his job once you start beating me up because he's like, man, if that's what's going to happen when I slack, Sean's going to bury me. I can't have that. All right, should we give the people the news off the top so we just get this out of the way?
Sure.
This is the season finale of Biscuits. Episode 33 will conclude season one. Will we be back for season two? I think so. You never know, though. I think Vice just got like $5.7 billion in funding, so they could probably afford us for another season, but who the heck knows? So if you were expecting any sort of free agent post-July 1st show, just imagine us hating everything and not liking anything and being really down on every single trade that was made because it wasn't good enough for both teams somehow. And but we're going to try and cram 3 weeks worth of stuff into this episode because by the time you hear this, like literally on my walk over here, Jordan Eberle was traded to the Oilers for Ryan Strome or to the Islanders for Ryan Strome. So by the time we even finish this actual podcast, there are probably one more transaction. So we figure why not make everything as unoutdated as possible by talking about things 2 weeks in advance. So what do you think about the Kevin Shattenkirk signing?
Boy, I don't know, man. The Rangers, who saw that coming? It's crazy.
A little bit of an overpayment, I thought, but you know what? They got their guy.
So too. Yeah.
It's pretty good. Can't believe the Matthew Shane trade really surprised me too.
Yeah. I mean, you would have thought they would have got something back. But the fact that they threw in a first-round pick to get another team to eat the salary, that was a surprise. I thought Joe Sakic would do better, but oh well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really huge boost for the Leafs to get that guy for nothing because now they're just unbelievably loaded down the middle there. It's going to be hard for anyone to stop them in the East next season.
Oh. What if we just kept doing this bit for the entire 55 minutes remaining on the podcast?
You know what? If I had actually prepared better, I probably could have gone a little deeper than Shattenkirk and Duchesne. We could have done it. Who else? Who's the second best free agent? Joe Thornton. I mean, are you surprised the Sharks brought him back for such a you know, late time in his career?
You know, I thought the 7-year deal was a little much, but I mean, you do what you got to do. And yeah, between that and Marian Hossa being traded to the Coyotes,
yeah,
it's a busy week. Busy week.
I completely understand why the Coyotes would want to, because think about it, like, they have a great tradition there with Pavel Datsyuk and Chris, yeah, Pronger. You know, the fans there expect great Hall of Fame talent to come through there towards the end. They're almost like the Yankees in a way, where they would just, you know, buy all the superstars late in their careers, or the Rangers, I should say, probably too, in hockey, where they got Gretzky and Stefan Quintal.
You lose a guy like Pavel Datsyuk, you lose Chris Pronger to the Florida Panthers, you got to jump in and replace that.
Yeah. And congratulations, by the way, to Quebec City as the 32nd team in the National Hockey League for the 2018-19 season.
Let's do a mock draft of how their expansion draft will go. Can't get enough of those.
Wow, I can't believe it. James Neal once again has been selected in an expansion draft. Nobody seems to want James Neal, this poor guy who scores 30 goals a year. That's a tough break. But yeah,
what did you think?
The fact that the NHL is okay with legalized gambling now is pretty good too. The way that they decided, hey, you know what, Vegas is in the league.
Yeah,
bet on the sport all you want legally throughout the country. Great job by the NHL.
I like that there was that they had the odds for their first game already before they even had a roster. That you could already bet on the over under between the Golden Knights and
the Dallas Stars.
Coyotes or Dallas? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 5.5. Like, you can basically bank on 6 goals in every Dallas Stars game anyway, but if you're going to go out there and have a Dallas Stars team play a team that has, like, Colin Miller on its first pairing, you should probably go out there and bet that over anyway. That's free money, I think. Right now, you know, who knows if we'll see you again next season. Take it to the bank. Stars, Golden Knights, over under 5.5. The Dave Lozo deadbolt lock of the week of this the offseason. Bet the over.
If you guys have listened all year, you know that when Dave says he's got a scoop, when he's got the inside info, it's locked down. You had the top 100, you had the Garth Snow lifetime contract, now you've got this.
Yep. A couple times a year.
It's free money.
A couple times a year I show up and I give you the inside dope. It's gonna be 6-0 after one period. The game's in Dallas too. Like, the Vegas is just gonna get, they're gonna get rolled. They're gonna get absolutely rolled. It's gonna be free money.
I feel like we all spent the last 2 weeks getting too excited over how good the Golden Knights could be.
Oh, don't you dare lump me into that. Oh my God, never thought they were going to be good, and they're worse than I thought they were going to be. Oh,
let me revise that we got too excited over how well the Golden Knights expansion draft would go, whatever that meant, whether that meant making a playoff team or whether that meant that they were going to, like, I remember seeing somewhere they're like, somebody was like, yeah, the Knight, they're going to have 6 first round draft picks by the time they're done wheeling and dealing, because they've got all these teams just over a barrel here. And at the end, like, I guess they did fine given what they had in front of them, but it was kind of like, yeah, that's you know, well, I mean, you're making 30 picks, there's going to be, you know, 20 okay picks, 5 not so good ones, and maybe 5 that you weren't expecting and you're okay with. But I mean, wait, well, what do you think? I mean, you're not high on,
it's bad,
George McPhee's work.
It's so bad, eh? It's just, to me, they left 1 or maybe even 2 first round picks. To me, they left them on the table because the only 2 first round picks they got were from the Islanders and Columbus, right? And they got them for essentially salary dumps. They said, we'll take on Clarkson, yeah, we'll take on Grabowski, but you have to give us a first round pick, which is part of the deal, which is something we all knew they were going to do. But that they didn't take, anything with the Ducks was weird. I don't get why. Like, I get why you don't take Vatanen. I get why you don't take Manson. But I only get it if you get a first-round pick back. Because if you take Sammy Vatanen and you want to flip him, you're going to get a first-round pick for Sammy Vatanen. I don't understand why you would not either take Vatanen or demand a first-round pick in return or get Vatanen and flip him. Same thing with a couple other teams, too. Like Minnesota, I mean, They were really exposed, and you took Eric Halla. Like, and Eric Halla is fine. Nothing wrong with Eric Halla, but this is the point where you need to start laying the foundation. And it just feels like there were just so many missed opportunities with Anaheim, Minnesota, the Rangers a little bit to an extent. Like, I've seen Oscar Lindberg play. I think, again, he's like Eric Halla. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with Oscar Lindberg. He didn't get a ton of playing time here because Alain Vigneault hates anybody under the age of 30, apparently. But he's fine. But, I mean, you need to sort of be like, hey, we're going to take Antti Raanta. We're going to take the guy that's going to play 30 games next year when Lundqvist gets hurt. We're going to take Michael Grabner, your $1.25 million 27 goal guy. Give us something. And you just take Oscar Lindberg. It just felt like at some point, George McPhee just got exhausted with the whole, you know, being like a mafia guy coming in and being like, hey, you know, your team doesn't look so safe here. Like, he just got bored of it and was like, just give me Shea Theodore. And I just feel like he left too much. He left too much on the table.
Theodore is a, you don't think he's in the same ballpark as getting a first round pick in a weak draft?
Wait, say that again?
You don't think Shea Theodore is like in the same ballpark as getting a first round pick in what we're getting a late first round pick in a weak draft?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he was a first round pick. He's been kicking around a couple years.
Griffin Reinhart.
Well, yeah,
that's what I mean. Like George McPhee is very old school, where I feel like he wants a little bit of toughness, and he has that mentality of like a recent first round pick who has underperformed. He's going to be the guy that turns that guy around. And I mean, it's possible Shea Theodore could go there and be a solid top four guy for them, but I just,
like, I felt okay with that one. I think, you know, compared to what you're going to get with whatever it is, the 27th pick in this year's first round, Minnesota, I thought was a little odd. And a few, I wonder if what happened was, like, I wonder if the Islanders were the first deal that he made, and that just got him too confident. Like, it was too easy when the Islanders are like, we're going to give you a first and a second, and you have to eat this bad cut. And he was like, all right, what are we talking? Like, is this 5-6 year contract? No, it's 1 year.
Right.
1 year left of a guy. And that's that. But you got to stay away from the rest of our dynasty that we're building here. You can't
I know the Islanders can't break that up.
I feel like, you know, he hung up the phone with that and he was like, this is easy, and you know, now he's just like, yeah, he and you know, other people are calling and he's like, I want four first round. They're like, I'm not Garth Snow, I'm not doing this, and they just hung up.
How many points? I mean, obviously, they're still doing stuff. They flipped Trevor Van Riemsdyk already to Carolina. So the team is, we still don't really know the team, but ballpark it for me. How many points?
They're an 82-point team.
No, they're not. Sean.
You think that's too high?
Oh, my God. Do you think this roster is better than Vancouver's roster last year? Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well,
it's like, how are they going to climb?
It's going to be interesting.
It's hockey, so you can have a Columbus Blue Jackets level type season that brings you to 82 points. I don't rule that out, but on paper, they're just so slow, and they're just so many just bottom six, bottom pairing type guys. And I just think, like, I put it at 65 to 70 points, I feel like, where they're going to. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury was at 908 with the Penguins before he got hot in the playoffs. Like, what's he going to do behind Vegas? It's just, he's going to be at like 889 by the All-Star break.
And they didn't really, like, I understand why they loaded up on defensemen. They figure that's where the trade value is. Yeah. But, I mean, the one thing that's been a constant through the history of expansion drafts, and I know, you know, this is the first one, the salary cap era, so the history only takes you so far. But the one constant has been, you're not going to get a lot of good skaters. You can get a good goaltender. You can find a good goaltender, especially if it's a draft like this one where teams can only protect one guy. There's going to be good goaltenders out there. You could walk away with three good goaltenders and then either go into the season or you trade some of those guys or whatever. And instead they got, you know, Fleury. Okay, I certainly see why they would make that pick.
Sure.
Calvin Picard. Okay. You know, Berube, I mean, that's not even... I don't, that may have been part of the trade, was that they had to take him, but they, you know, they left some pretty good goaltenders on the table.
Yeah. I wondered, like, for a year I was positive that Kenny Holland was going to leave Jimmy Howard exposed, but he was like, know what?
Right.
Take Peter Mrazek. And it's a smart move because, like, honestly, like, you, I don't know if Peter Mrazek was, after the year he had, was really flippable. And you know, you can only take so many goalies. Like, if you do the opposite of that, if you stockpile goalies and take nine defensemen and you get stuck with, like, all these extra goaltenders, like, you can't put, like, there's only so many spots. Like, you can't have Peter Mrazek in the AHL. You can't have, like, Calvin Picard. I think he showed, like, he played for Colorado last year. So he's actually the one guy who's going to a better situation, I think, in the entire expansion draft. He's going to be like, wow, look at all these defensemen. This upgraded. Is great. But, yeah, like, it just, it like, some of it's, like, just philosophical for me. Is like, I would have taken Bo Bennett instead of John Merrill because I watched a lot of John Merrill, and I never understood what the Devils saw in him. They used him over just so many other guys that I thought were better than him. But, you know, he's got pedigree, and that's the kind of thing like a GM like George McPhee likes. But yeah, like, I don't know. I why not take Riley Sheahan, who, you know,
you did your rankings of all the picks.
Yeah.
Which I thought was you went 30 through one, and yeah, a lot of these you did not like very much.
Yeah, like the, I would say like between like
Alexi Yemelin.
Yeah, like really Alexi Yemelin. Like what are you going to get for Alexi? He's not going to be a Vegas Golden Knight, is he? Like he's like he might be because
got to remember like they need to hit the cap floor, and I'm sure they've already got. They've got their list of players, but they've got them written down in two different colors of ink. They've got the guys that they picked so they could flip, and then they got the guys that, you know, at some point you can't flip everyone and then be like, oh, wait a second, we've got only $30 million in cap hit, and we've got to go and grab some other guys. And, you know, I can see especially when you're going to be a young, presumably team that's going to lose a lot, that you're going to want to have a couple of veteran guys who can. I don't know if you're leaders or your dressing room stable eye or whatever it is. Maybe they view them as that, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, there were definitely some questions.
And while we're talking, Vegas has flipped David Schlemko to the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a game changer right there.
Like that's an upgrade. See, like that was my point, was sort of like Alexi Yemelin couldn't really crack the Montreal lineup in the playoffs because he was just so slow and he couldn't do anything. And now they've got David Schlemko, who's very good. He's a very solid middle of the road defenseman who's going to make the Montreal Canadiens better. That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they got
fifth round pick 2019. So that's cheap.
Yeah, that is cheap. See, that's what I mean. I feel like George McPhee has done a really bad job of valuing players and like not maybe a, like David Schlemko's worth more than a fifth. Like when the Devils. They signed him as a free agent. I'm trying to think because I'm pretty sure David Schlemko got traded at a deadline recently for more than a fifth, but maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm imagining that. We're doing this on the fly today, people. There's all kinds of crazy. You know what's funny is like all these trades too. I was texting my friend on the walk over here, and we were like talking about all the moves. And it's like, have you ever seen so much excitement over a bunch of guys that were basically on the waiver wire like 2 years ago? Like all these, it's like James Neal. Okay, that's great. Brandon Leipzig. Is that a real guy? Yeah, I guess. Great job. Thomas Nosek.
Uh-huh.
Like, but yeah, Montreal gets better. That's a good pickup though. I like
that's all right. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, especially trading the pick 2 years out. That's kind of a strange one for Vegas because it seems to me like.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know. Would you want to wait a little bit and see?
I'd rather have him.
I get that like you don't. I get that it kind of works two ways, right? You get all these defensemen, so now you're the team that if someone needs a defenseman, at least a depth defenseman, you know, a third pairing guy, you're the team people have to talk to. But by the same token, people are calling you up going, we know you've got 13 defensemen, you got to trade somebody. You can't bluff like you're going to just keep everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that seems like you'd get, a fifth round pick for any serviceable NHLer is good value for the team.
That's you getting the pay, player.
Assuming,
the
guy,
yeah, that's,
assuming
that's,
he doesn't. Assuming he doesn't have a terrible contract, which Schlemko doesn't in this case. So
can't figure out Mark Bergevin, man. Like he spent all last season on grit, toughness, and heart, and now he's got Jonathan Drouin, who I don't think he embodies any of those three things. He's a good player, but he's not that. And now, like David Schlemko is not really a big physical defenseman, so it's like he's jammed the brakes on the whole toughness thing, and now he's kind of getting a better skating team, which in a way is good. He's adjusting, but also it's just you kind of dug the hole with Shea Weber. Like you're not going to find like a PK Subban out there to offset what you already did. So I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch it play out because obviously they're not done yet, and they're probably going to be other moves before people even hear this. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like personally, I got my hopes too. Like by Wednesday, I was like, George McPhee is going to run this league. And then by the end of it, it was like, oh, right, they're an expansion team. They're not going to be good, and they're not going to get that many, you know, they're not going to run the whole draft. So I don't know. I mean, they're not going to be good this year. Do you think, are they set up to have success at some point?
It depends on how they do in the draft. Like, I think they're still, you know, 3 or 4 years away. It's different now, like you said, with the salary cap era. Like, back in the day, you can kind of have one bad year and then maybe throw a bunch of money at free agents and just try and get good right away. Like, you know, it took, I mean, Tampa came into the league in 92, 93, and then won the cup 12 years later. So if you draft right, like, I mean, if you happen to run into Vinny LeCavalier in the draft and you happen to get somebody to give you Marty St. Louis, you can kind of
I mean, the speed it Panthers up. Panthers were in the final in year three. But that was a fluke, right? I mean, that was...
Yeah, that was just them choking the life out of teams with their New Jersey Devils-esque style. That's not a possibility. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe if you hire Guy Boucher, maybe Guy Boucher can become the defense whisperer, where he just finds ways to just give him Erik Karlsson and then like 19 other dudes who can just show up and not screw things up. Like the Predators took a while to get good. Columbus took forever. I mean, is Columbus actually even good yet? That's
I don't think
question.
Columbus ever got there. Columbus never got there. Atlanta never got there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Predators took a while. Minnesota was right, but that was the same. Like they lucked into Dwayne Rolison and got crazy good goaltending, and and Ottawa was a mess for the longest time, but they did. I mean, they changed the rules. They tilted the rules in favor of the expansion team this time. Like I did a history of how the draft has worked over the years. And there were years where like you could keep 15 skaters and two goalies. And, you know, then the end result were, I mean, the teams were just absolutely terrible. And so they loosened it a bit, but I don't know. I feel like they're in decent shape for a few years down the road, but not overwhelmingly good shape.
Like all those other expansion teams, I'm pretty sure all of them, maybe not recently. I forget when they stopped doing it, but when you were an expansion team, it was like, congratulations, you pick first overall this year. And now for Vegas, it's like, congratulations, you pick sixth in a really not that great draft. Good luck. Have fun.
Now, what did you think of the idea that it was floated by our podcast cousin, Jeff Merrick, who said, you know, look, Vegas has got, what do they have now, 6th, 13th, and 15th picks?
I think 15, something like that. I think 15 and 17, Columbus
okay.
and the Islanders.
Something like that. They've got the 6th, and they've got like two in the mid-teens. Do they package all of that and try to move up? Do they try to jump up to a number one or number two, get one of the top two guys?
They should.
Or do something like that.
Again, I'm not a draft expert. I have no idea. But I just go off of what all the other experts say. And they say that this isn't a deep draft. There's not a lot of guys. So if you can get one of the two guys or even the three guys at the top, you want to get the one guy, I think. You want to get Patrick or you want to get Hischier. Is that how you say his name? I don't want to pretend like I know anything about these guys. I think you do it because that's your best bet for getting off to a really good start. Like if you pick sixth, there could be a guy there for sure, but I would 100% package. Like, I don't even know if the 6th and the 15th would be enough to get the first pick, to be honest. But
no,
it
probably wouldn't. Not with the drop-off. But, yeah, I mean, the sixth pick in a bad draft is, I mean, there have been a lot of not so great. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking back to, like, I mean, that sixth pick, everyone always, you got a top 10 pick, everyone's always like, you know, we'll get a star, like, you might get Rafi Torres, like, that's what you might get, a guy who plays on your team for 10 years, 12 years, he's fine, he helps, but you look back, you're like, well, what was that guy, like a fourth round pick? No, we used a top 5 draft choice on the guy, and yeah, I don't know, because that's the thing, you look at, like, you know, the Knights, that they've got depth, even now, when they haven't made their trade, so they've got like 30 guys on the roster, there's lots of depth, but there's just none of that. Like, this is a league that's run by the top stars, like elite talent. And there's, like, there's a lot of players in this league that you would not trade that player for every asset the Vegas Golden Knights have right now.
Right.
Like, lots of guys. That if the Vegas called up and said, every draft pick for the next 3 years, everyone on our roster, literally everyone we own the rights to for this guy, every team in the league's got like four or five players up to that they'd be like, no, I'm not doing that deal. So they have a ways to go. Like the depth, it like hits, you know, people are like, wow, the depth is there, but not the top. Well, yeah, I mean, the depth is always there. It's not that hard to find depth, but uniforms look nice though. Do they?
I like the white ones. The dark ones are just so dreary. Like they're not.
I don't care. I feel like there's something wrong with me because when they did that Adidas thing where they unveiled like all the new uniforms, and like people had very strong feelings about a lot of them, and I'm just
It's like the collars. Honestly, the collars on a lot of them are like very weird to me. Like they're like these white, like they almost look like real collars, like you would see on a shirt. Like they're just.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Those are kind of weird.
Yeah, like, and then they put the little writing on the back, which I get. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't process that level of detail because there's like I watch more hockey than anything I do, and yet there were when
you're
they
a
changed
father,
uniforms.
Aren't you?
People are like, yeah, no, I'm counting that. Watch hockey. Maintain children. Miscellaneous wife activities, and then yeah, that's
miscellaneous wife activities.
I'm looking at the that was a line from our wedding vows, by the way. Like people are they're like, look at this before and after of this team's uniform, and I'm like, I don't know which one's the, but you got to label this, man. I don't know which one's the new one and which one's the old one, because I watched this team play 20 times this year, but apparently I don't know whether they had piping. I didn't even know what piping was. Like, I had to wait for someone to explain it. I don't know.
I think it's a weed
term.
I'm
clearly not.
I think you put the weed in the pipe and you pipe with your bros. Is that a thing?
Okay. In that case, I agree that there shouldn't. I'm surprised they put that on the uniforms.
It's two things. One is everyone has an opinion on everything on Twitter, so something shows up, you got to give your opinion on it. Two, I do think some of them are genuinely hideous, but I think the rest of them, like by game 14 next season, you will be watching on TV and you won't think twice about it. And I guess the third thing is obviously the reason why they got rid of the piping and cleared up the top of the jerseys is so they can put, you know, a Exxon ad on it next season or two seasons from now. It's all
Which
just
is, that's going to be some great ads. Outrage when that happens.
I can't wait
people
for that
are
one.
Gonna, people are going to be so, you know what? That's the day we got to slip in the bigger nets. Because all of the old school people will be so furious that there's like a little tiny postage stamp sized ad on somebody's shoulder that will just go and make all the nets 6 inches bigger all the way around and they won't even notice.
Oh, speaking of rules, the GM's got some ideas, right? No more slashing on the hands. That's good. I like that.
That's good. I'm surprised we didn't have that in the rule book already. Like a no slashing rule that we could have called.
It's like, you know what the NHL GMs are? They're like the people at Lyft who recently just invented the bus. They're like, here's an idea. We all meet up at a spot, and then we get on this gigantic transportation, and we go there and en masse. We call it en masse transportation. Oh, that sounds great, Lyft. Thanks. That's the NHL GMs. Here's an idea. Let's call slashing penalties. Genius.
What if
wow.
Like you hit somebody with your stick. What if we made that illegal?
And I think the two things are, I think they're going to look at the offside review stuff. And I thought there was one other thing that I don't know. You can tell I don't prepare for the show.
I don't understand how rules change in it. Because like every week there's some meeting and they're like, here's the rules change. And everyone goes, okay. And then the next week they're like, all right, they're having it. And you're like, didn't you guys meet? And they're like, no, that was the competition committee.
I know.
This week it's the committee for competition. And then we will forward it. And then at the end, it just all goes to the GMs and like one guy's pet peeve from like his playing days. He got mad because one time somebody kicked a puck in a face-off. And so now he's going to get that rule changed.
You can no longer tape your stick with white tape. All stick tape must be black. There it is. We solved the NHL's problems.
Sit back and wait for that. No more flat salary caps for us.
Miscellaneous wife activities.
Do we want to talk about the awards at all? I don't feel like there were any surprises. Like, not only were there not really any surprises, I don't feel like there was even that many like terrible ballots that we could all get angry about.
Yeah, like all the awards were fine. I thought Ryan Kessler was going to win. He didn't. That was the one award I thought I was going to be mad about. I'm not. Bergeron should have won it. And the rest was just things like, you know, somebody voted Torrey Krug as the number two defenseman in all of hockey last season. And if that vote didn't come from Boston, I would be so you could knock me over with a feather if it was somebody from like Manitoba, you know, from WCXY in Wyoming or something that made that vote. And I thought there was a couple other ones that were just like minor stuff, but yeah, like
there were a few, but there wasn't like the, you know, like even most years there's like some terrible ones. Like, you know, there's a GM who got fired, gets some GM of the year votes, or
Tortorella, like some guy. That's the one I didn't like. Tortorella was
Coach of the Year is it's the most improved team award.
That's Toronto all it improved. Is. It's, who improved more technically? Columbus improved more.
Columbus. But it's like the most surprising team, I guess. Like, people thought Toronto was better than people thought, but everybody thought Columbus was going to be absolutely terrible. So, you know, that we couldn't have been wrong, right? Like, we couldn't have just been incorrect in our analysis, so it must have been the coach. Must have been a great coaching job. Here you go.
Like, every year the coach that wins the Jack Adams, I don't think it always works out where their goalie wins the Vezina, but usually that team has an insanely good goaltending situation that year at 5-on-5 everywhere, and wow, Sergei Bobrovsky won the Vezina. Columbus, man, when they're not good next year, I don't want to hear about, oh man, how can we fire John Tortorella? He just won the Jack Adams last year. Maybe it's because when he was asked about his coaching strategy, he said, I don't like X's and O's. It's just a mental toughness thing. Maybe that's the problem in 2017 with why Columbus isn't good this year.
See how mentally tough they are, but when they're not getting 928 goaltending.
Yeah, when Bobrovsky suddenly became a bad goaltender in the playoffs. Technically, Toronto won twice as many playoff games as Columbus this year, so it's a shame we didn't just wait until late April to do the voting like we do for how come GM of the year we wait till the second round, but Jack Adams we got to do it right before the playoffs start?
Because the GM of the year is already a ridiculous enough award.
It is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awful.
Did Bergevin get any GM of the year votes? I looked through. Ooh. I forgot to check for that. I saw Jeff Gordon got 2 third-place votes, which is fine. I thought that was kind of weird, but he signed Grabner.
I feel like he probably would, just because I feel like half the awards or half the votes in that category go to guys who just have been criticized a lot. Like, that's sort of your, hey, here you go, you're getting ripped everywhere. No, Mark Bergevin did not get any, not one single vote.
Shea Weber finished like 6th in NARS voting. I thought maybe he would get a little credit for...
Yeah.
No, PK Subban got no votes at all for the NARS, which is fine because he missed a lot of the season, but... Yeah. I thought that would be enough to get Mark Bergevin some love in the GM of the year voting. Apparently not. Good. He didn't deserve it. Just wanted to see if he got it. Any other award stuff? Should we talk about the Marian Hossa thing as we speak?
Let's keep going. I mean, the awards were they were. What'd you think of the show?
I watched. I put it on for the Sidney Crosby Gary Bettman seat swap, which solid B-minus bit. But then, like, every time I put it back on, I watched Barrichello because I like Barrichello. I thought he did really well I don't know if Denny Potvin has, like, mental issues or health issues, I should say, or he was drunk. But, like watching Jay operate off the teleprompter and then watching Denny Potvin go to the teleprompter, it's like, oh, man. Yeah. Poor Jay. He's got nowhere to go there.
So you missed all the comedy gold, though. You missed, like, the Photoshop magazine covers and the Penn & Teller.
Yeah,
man. I saw tweets. I feel like Penn & Teller has done this before. Like, I feel like every year they do just a terrible, terrible bit.
They do, and they get paid too. I want to know what they get paid. Six figures.
Well, the thing is, like, I like some of their stuff. I've seen their show. It was a good show, but I feel like they're the sort of guys who are like, we're doing what? We're getting paid. Okay, like we don't. They might as well just slap a big stamp on how, like, it's one take. Written in 15 minutes with whoever happens to be nearby. You don't have to be an actor. You know, we're going to film it in whatever room is available. We're out of here in half an hour.
It wasn't a live thing on the stage?
No, it was like a taped bit with them. Yeah, it was, and it was just like, it just dead silence.
Me and Tim Barnes got to write something for the Vegas show next year, being the comedy geniuses that me and Tim are, but... Maybe next year.
I wrote jokes for the NHL Awards once. Did I ever tell you that story?
No. Tell us the story.
I did. Well, I'll start with the ending, which is the jokes didn't get used. So that I just realized how, like, Hollywood I, like, I sounded like some LA waiter, like, oh yeah, I've written for this show. Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Would you like to hear the specials or the jokes that got rejected for my
It didn't actually, you know, it didn't work. No, but it was one of the years where Jay Moore was hosting, and they had announced that he was hosting, and I guess people on Twitter were like, tweeted at him and me or something, where they're like, oh yeah, you should write, this was like probably during the Brian Burke stuff or whatever. And I got like a message from Jay Moore, and he was like, I have no idea who you are, but go ahead and write some jokes. And if we use them, you can, you know, we'll toss you a credit or whatever, however it works.
No money. I was like, credit.
Okay. Probably no money. But, I was like, all right. And I sent him some stuff, and he was like, okay, thanks. Yeah. You know, we might, and even like the day of the show, he's like, yeah, we're thinking we might use this one. We're not sure. Tune in. And then they didn't use any of it. But
what was the best joke? What do you remember? What do you remember the best joke?
You know what? The only one I remember was, and yeah, this is why it must have been 2010, because I had, this was when the Flyers had just been to the final with Chris Pronger, and I had a joke where he was like, yeah, I was just in the men's room, and it was kind of awkward because Chris Pronger was going to all the urinals and stealing the pucks.
That's a good joke.
I thought it was okay. But, you know, apparently...
That's a good... And it's a good, you know, joke, too, for the audience, like you have there. Like, it's not
think,
offensive.
Yeah. You know, it's not... But, yeah, I'm going to assume all my stuff just got vetoed by the NHL because it was too edgy.
Oh, man, we can't have one of our best players
strap in, guys. I'm going to... Yeah, we wouldn't want people... We wouldn't want Chris Pronger to look bad. We wouldn't want people to... I wish they'd used it just for the reaction of, like... A little bit of laughter followed by a shot of a glaring Chris Pronger, and then dead silence.
Like nobody laughs.
As everybody realized that, like, is he laughing? No, he's not. Okay, don't.
What's his name? The host last night. I caught that too. He made a Flyers joke. He said something about like you're sitting so far in the back. What are you, a Flyer or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
Which I thought he was fine. I have no idea who that guy is. I don't know. But this is not.
The ladies love him, Sean. He's the super hot hunky. I don't think he was a vampire on True Blood. He might have been a werewolf. I don't know.
I feel like at this point I can't even make fun of the NHL for like they don't have cool celebrities. It's like even if they did, I wouldn't know who they were. So
he wasn't cool. He definitely wasn't
but
cool.
Speaking of celebrities, the NHL awards. Did you see the discovery that we made this week and last week? I posted an old video from the 1997 NHL Awards. Because again, I love the NHL attempting to do sketch comedy. And they had a bit where it was a pretend ad for a table hockey game. And it was Martin Brodeur versus Ron Hextall table hockey. Because they're the two goalies who could score goals. So it was table hockey where there's only the goalies.
Okay.
Move the goalies
good,
around.
Good premise. I like it. Okay.
Not decent premise. Yeah. And it was quick. It was like a 45 second, you know, fake ad. And then there's two kids, right? And one of the kids is like, oh, I'm losing. And the other kid goes, ah, you better pull your goalie. And then they do this big fake laugh. And I was like, I like that kid. He's like, a lot of kids would have backed off on that line, but he really sold it.
He dove into it.
I like that kid a lot. And I posted it. And like immediately I start getting emails from people who are like, Did you go back and watch that again and take another look at that kid that you said you liked? I go back and I watch it. I'm like, it kind of looks, but what do you? And I had people tweeting and email me. They're like, not Ryan Gosling. They're like, that's Drake.
No,
that's a 10 year old Drake. Because of course I'm assuming Americans know this. Like before he was a rapper, Drake was a child actor.
Yeah.
And he was on like cheesy Canadian shows and Degrassi and stuff like that. But this would have been even before that, but it would have been like the age lines up. It would have been filmed in Toronto and people. And then, you know, of course, then like immediately, like I got like radio stations that are just randomly, they just randomly happen to find it on their own. And so like they're posting it like, hey, look what we found. Drake was in this NHL ad. So I feel like that though, that's like the celebrities that have ever been. You can't ever say that the NHL has never had anyone really famous at their awards.
It was just ahead of their time. Yeah,
in 1997, he was just 10 years old, but he sold the hell out of the line. Good for him. He deserves all the success he got. I think that was the turning point for him right there. And of course, everyone's making the exact same joke. Like, wow, he really did start from the bottom. If he was doing NHL comedy at the 1997 awards.
This is like everybody on Twitter today when Ron Howard became the director for the Han Solo movie, and everyone kept making the same Arrested Development Ron Howard narrator joke. Like, Well, it was a good discovery. People didn't credit you for it, but much like your jokes for the award show, we all know now that you were the originator of a very good puck based.
Exactly. That's my story. And by any other jokes that have ever been on an award show that you thought were good, those are mine too.
Okay, so when I see one of those, I'll let you know and say thank you for writing that joke when I see it. Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
I got a lot of thoughts. First of all, I want to give all the credit in the world to the Blackhawks PR staff, because 2 years ago, they could not have screwed up the Patrick Kane thing worse, right? Like,
right.
A woman alleged that she was raped by him, and every step they took from that point on was just the dumbest, stupidest, like putting him out there in preseason to read. It was just bad. Like, whether you're a Patrick Kane defender or not, and there are Patrick Kane defenders on Twitter, trust me, like everything they did was just dumb. Just the dumbest move ever. And now they have this situation where they have Marian Hossa, his contract completely goes down to $1 million a year for 4 years. He's 38 years old, cap circumvention and all that. And they got out in front of it. They leaked it to Elliot Friedman that, hey, he's probably going to have to hang it up because of a severe skin allergy condition that causes him to just have to take medicine, that causes him to, you know, put himself at risk while he plays, while he's on the medicine. And they got out in front of it because there's, of all the organizations in hockey whose word I don't take at face value because of things like the Patrick Kane thing, because of firing your previous GM based on a clerical error that magically happened to get him out of there, I don't take any team or league thing at face value for the most part. And so when the Chicago Blackhawks suddenly have a player whose cap hit is gigantic and salary is tiny, and they're telling me, yeah, he can't play anymore because of a rare medical condition, instantly my first thought is, wow, like the first word, and this is the word everybody used, was, it's really convenient that this happened. Doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean Marian Hossa is not dealing with something awful, but you instantly think Chris Pronger, you instantly think about all these guys that signed long-term deals. Who's the other known cap circumvention guy? I want to say Kovalchuk, but not him. There's somebody else too where they did this, where they just turfed him to long-term IR.
There've been a few, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just amazing, cuz like if you even raise that point where you're just like, boy, this even if it's real, it's still convenient that it happens to happen at this point of his contract. Instant pushback. And that is like fans, like it's not even just Blackhawks fans. Like usually when you tweet something like, oh man, the Penguins are sure getting all the calls, and someone's like, you don't know the game, you click on that profile, they're from Pittsburgh. The Hossa thing's different. Like everyone is just, you know, oh man, I can't believe you would doubt the credibility of somebody with a severe. And I'm not doubting him. I'm not doubting any of this. But again, he played with it last year.
Marian Hossa is like a strange case of, he would not have been my pick to be like a guy who developed into like the most beloved player in the league.
Yeah.
Like it's like, weird. You know, this, I mean, obviously this is a terrible thing. And, you know, it's sad that presumably he's not going to play again, but yeah, he sort of like settled into that Timu Solani role of like the guy that, I remember a couple years ago, I wrote a thing about him going, whether is Marian Hossa a Hall of Famer? And at the time, this is 2 years ago. So subtract 2 years of stats and achievements off the guy. And my conclusion was, yes, I think he's going to the Hall of Fame, and I would see him going in on the first ballot. So I wrote a thing that said he's going into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, and people were furious that it was even a question. Like,
really?
How dare you ask if this guy who has like 1,100 points and no major awards is not an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer? And like to this day, people like find that and send it back to me, and they're like, yeah, you know, Marian Hossa, you hate me. I'm like, did you read to the end, or was it?
No, they didn't.
And they said, no, of course, it's the internet. No one has ever read to the end of anything. But yeah, he's, I don't know. I get why some people are upset or kind of grumbling about the salary cap implications of this. But at this point, I mean, we know how these things go. There's right. No point pretending like the league is going to suddenly put its foot down here and be like, no, you're going to take the cap hit and all this stuff. This is what happens with these contracts. They, you know, at some point they go away somehow or other, whether it's long-term injury reserve, whether it's that plus getting traded to Arizona or, you know, Vegas or wherever it is, it's, or the KHL or whatever it is, like these, like if you're sitting there, like if you got your fingers crossed that your favorite team's big rival is really going to get screwed over by all their long contracts at some point, it's like, it's not going to happen. It's going to be the guys who, like, if a guy's 31 now and he's bad already, yeah, it's, they're going to be hurt. But if a guy, if you're looking ahead, like, oh, when he's 39, this is really going to, no, it's not.
Nope.
Sorry.
They'll find a way.
And it's not going to be on the cap recapture penalty either, because that's a terrible rule and it's going to go away at the next CBA. It's just going to quietly disappear right in time for it to not actually have any major impact on anybody.
Like Shea Weber's contract will not be a problem for anybody.
That's crazy to me that like people will raise that one, because the way it works, because it was traded, is it creates this weird situation, because it's a badly written and badly implemented rule. So
oh,
it creates
it's a
situation
rule.
Where
oh, yeah.
The longer he plays, the worse it gets for Nashville. Like if he retires with 1 year left, he signed a 14-year contract. If he plays 13 years, I mean, that wasn't really you can't really accuse it of that much cap circumvention, but based on the way the rules work, if he retires 1 year shy of that 14-year, Nashville Predators get instantly hit with, I want to say it's like a $26 million cap penalty. If you think there's any chance at all that that right. is actually going to happen, you've lost your mind. If you think like this Nashville, that 10 years from now, assuming that the team's still there, presumably it's been established as a good market, it's thriving, it's, you know, they've got some history. If you think they're going to suddenly lose, you know, whatever, 20% or whatever the cap is then overnight because of a contract that they didn't even sign, and that the NHL isn't going to find a way to just magically let that go. I got news for you. It's not going to happen. And if I'm wrong and you're listening to this 10 years in the future, you come visit my grave and yell at me.
Your grave? Oh my God. What don't we know? Are you okay?
That got dark. Yeah.
and then I'll be dead in 2022.
I'm assuming the Marian Hossa fans have got me already by that point.
But here's the thing. I think people love any athlete like Marian Hossa who is old and still good at stuff, because none of us want to get old and get bad at stuff. And whenever we see somebody who's like Jagr or Solani or Hossa, like we love it. That's all it is. Like it could be any player, any nationality, any ethnicity, anything. Like we see that person, we love that person instantly. We don't care. Like, first of all, Marian Hossa is kind of a grump. You know what I mean? Like he's not really like he's perfectly fine, but like, man, he bitches about the offside rule a ton, which I guess possibly endears him to everybody else but me, because I love the offside rule. But yeah. that's where it comes
I'm gonna
from.
Say, man, I'm not I, we can't be throwing stones on the yeah. complaining about the
I heard,
guy complains
I heard
about
it,
the league
I heard
all
it after
the time.
I said it. I actually loved him more. I didn't realize he was doing that. He hates the offside rule. Man, can I call that guy dad? I want the dad. Please come back to the league. But I don't know. Like I just like it's a thing where like for a half second you see it and you're just like, eh, that's convenient. But right, like you said, no matter what it was, like he was probably never going to play the last 4 years of the contract. Probably at least like not the last three. And he played with this for a year. And it to me like. Like I don't think it's made up. I don't think it's, you know, a situation where right. like Hossa wants to keep playing and he can't or anything like that. I think it is that. I do think he wants to keep playing, but he can't because, like for instance, another thing we didn't talk about. We could do a seriously like a 4-hour show today. But Shane Doan was dunzo last year. He scored six frigging goals on that team, which wasn't a good team. But he had 6 goals in 80 games. He's 40 years old, and people are outraged that. The Coyotes don't want him back, like even
yeah,
for $1 million.
Like, it's this kind of like messy end. Like, you know, Shane Doan is the guy who's like, who won't leave the party, even though like the hosts are like doing big exaggerated yawns and mentioning how they have to be up early tomorrow. And Shane Doan's like, let me pour you a night. And it's like, finally they were like, Shane, you gotta go. Party's done. You have to leave now. And now he's like, oh, that's how it's going to be. All right. And he's like, oh,
that's exactly what it is.
About it.
That's exactly.
Remember at the trade deadline when they traded Hanzus, and like, you're like 15 points out of the playoffs. And then he was kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, no, you don't. You'll probably piece it together for you. So Yeah, I don't know.
But Marian Hossa scored 28 goals last year, so it's not like the Blackhawks are forcing him out. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the timing of it.
This wouldn't be the time where you would do it.
Right, exactly. So it's just, it's one of those things where, like, you see it and you see the remaining dollars on the contract. And
if you were going to, you'd be like, he has a bad back. Or he has, you know, we think maybe there's a concussion, he has hit, like, something. You wouldn't be like, he has an extraordinarily rare and very specific skin condition.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like the kind of thing that somebody could check up on. So, yeah, no, we're not advancing conspiracy theories here. But, yeah,
again, for the NHL, it's either a conspiracy theory or they're just dumb. And the dumbness here is not Hossa. Yeah. It's the recapture penalty is what it is. And
that's what somebody tweeted that. They're like, people think the NHL is like working these grand conspiracies. And meanwhile, like, they couldn't even release the expansion protected list on time when they said they would. Like, they had them for like 17 hours and they were still late.
But even today,
shadowy.
The trade freeze ended and everyone's like, man, 9 a.m. they're going to announce some trades. And as of right now, it's 1:57 p.m. on Thursday. And we've seen that. Oh, yeah. The Jordan Eberle, Ryan Strome trade. We should probably talk about that.
That was the main one. What do you think of that? It's kind of a.
Yeah.
That's a sell low for the Oilers. Like, I get that they want to clear cap space because they've got McDavid coming up and Eberle had the bad playoffs. But, I mean, that's kind of like, I don't know. It seems like you've got a guy who's a useful player, can score in this league, has shown that, still relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe contract's not great, but, I mean, that's, you should be able to salvage something pretty decent for that kind of asset. And you wait until he's had, like, the roughest one-month stretch of his entire career, and then you ship him off for a pretty big question mark in my mind. I mean, Ryan Strome's obviously still got some potential, but he's 24. He's going to be 24 in a couple of weeks. So it's not like he's got a ton of open road ahead of him where he's still going to get better and better.
I think it's going to work out like the Hall-Larson deal where the Oilers are going to be so good with all their other players, you're not going to think twice about the trade because they're going to be good anyway. And also, too, it's not exactly the same thing, but it reminds me a little bit of the Nino Niederreiter trade. Obviously, you get back mm-hmm. Jordan Eberle. He's a little bit better than Cal Clutterbuck, slightly. He's got a few more tools in the bag. But Strome played his entire career for a coach in Jack Capuano who, I won't say he had no idea what he was doing, but There really wasn't much of what some people call a, quote, system with the Islanders, right, where I can see him going to Edmonton. I don't know if he's going to play with McDavid or if he's going to play with Draisaitl, but I can see him going to Edmonton, putting up numbers that are comparable or maybe even better than Eberle. But it doesn't mean still that wasn't a bad trade for Edmonton is kind of the point where, you know, you probably could have some more.
If they plug him in, I guess that's going to decide a lot of it. It's going to be, does Eberle get to go and play with Tavares and does Strome get to play with McDavid? And
Eberle for sure is going to play with. This is totally one of those trades where it's like, please, John Tavares, don't leave us after next season. Look what we're doing for you.
We brought back your World Juniors friend.
Yeah. So I feel like that one's going to work out for both sides, even though it looks like a pretty big deal for the Islanders as compared to the Oilers. What else we got here? It's 2 o'clock in the office. I'm just staying here the whole time, Tim. I don't care if anybody comes in.
Yeah. What are they going to do?
What are they going to do? Cancel the podcast?
Yeah.
No, we'll be back next season probably. Wait, hold on. Let me go to the email and go to the list. Sorry, the list that you kindly make.
I think we got it all other than the draft, which will be tonight by the time people are hearing this. I don't know. Any, I don't know, predictions, any thoughts, any...
Well, I was
deals we're gonna see.
I was surprised to see the Devils trade out of the top spot. That was kind of crazy. But you know, if they feel like they want to get a defenseman, they can trade down and do that. That's a smart play. It was weird too to hear the Chicago Blackhawks fans cheer Gary Bettman. But I guess when you get an outdoor game every year, that's the one city you can get cheered in on the
stage.
Must
be a big standing ovation.
So let's see.
I did enjoy him getting booed at the awards, by the way. That was like, he's on camera for 5 seconds in a comedy bit and the crowd just instant, the crowd that he's just awarded a team to like literally is in the process of giving them their team, and they're like, boo, we hate you, and got brings a tear to my eye how quickly hockey fans grow up and reach maturity.
It makes it hard to do a comedy bit when one of the stars of the comedy bit gets booed mid comedy bit. That kind of takes you out of the flow of the comedy bit, but yeah, it's still pretty good. All right, so award show, we did the jokes there. Who we voted for, we liked everything, pretty much everything. I didn't like Torts, but we pretty much agreed. Hossa, not a conspiracy theory or anything like that. The draft, crazy that the first overall pick was Nolan Patrick. Congratulations to him. We did a bunch of trades already. Shattenkirk signing, Duchesne trade. That's pretty much everything. So maybe we should do a couple mailbag questions because people emailed us or tweeted us, and if we ignore them, they're going to be really, really sad. Wow, we got 46 questions. No. Was it dumb for Winnipeg? This is Steve. _U_no. It's a lot of underscores. Was it dumb for Winnipeg to give up a first to save Enstrom from being selected? Because I don't know why we would keep him bad player / salary.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a useful player. They didn't give up a first. They kind of traded down in the first, so yeah, they flipped down a few spots. So, ultimately, I think that's going to be probably a bit of a wash. I don't know that he necessarily would have been taken, but that was one of those where I think part of it was they got him to waive his no movement clause. And once they did that, they probably felt like they had to make sure he didn't get taken. Like that was a good spot where McPhee could bluff a little bit and say like, that's the guy I want. And then you're like, oh, we're going to look terrible if this guy waives his no movement in order to do us a favor. And then we let him go. So maybe a bit of an overpay, but I don't think it was dumb.
Ian Jansen, who goes by Goose Manslide. That's like a sex thing probably, right? Like I just read out probably. Like an Urban Dictionary sex thing on the podcast. Goose. Oh, man, I got the Goose Manslide on Saturday night. I don't know what that is. As writers who vote, I did not vote this year. I was out of the – this is my year off. I voted the last 2 years. You voted this year, right?
I did, yeah.
As writers who vote, after seeing the results, especially the Krug-Carlson stuff, do you think trophy voting should still be anonymous? Are you an anonymous guy or are you a public voting guy?
No, I'm a public voting guy. I think that we should post our ballots. I do get the argument. Like I've been at some of the PHWA meetings where this has come up, and I've heard people stand up to say why they don't think it should be mandatory that we release them.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes from beat guys who are like, look, I'm going to have problems with the team. If I don't vote for this guy for whatever award he's up for, I'm going to have somebody that I'm going to have to deal with who's not going to be happy, whether it's the player or the front office or whatever. But they're just like, if you want me to vote honestly, I don't want to have to deal with that. And I also get that there are people who don't feel like spending all day on Twitter and Facebook defending every fifth place vote they gave out. I guess from a fan perspective, the argument against doing it would be that if everybody knows that it's going to be public and everyone knows you're going to have to defend them, you're going to get even more kind of groupthink and uniform voting. Because you might have people going, I really do think that Victor Hedman should have been the Norris Trophy winner. Maybe I think he was the bet, but man, if I'm going to be the one guy, I'm going to have my name on it. I'm going to get ripped for it. I'll just nudge him down to third wherever I know everyone else has him. I guess that's the argument, but I think the positives outweigh the negative, and I think it gives us more credibility. And I think as media, we're always, if somebody doesn't come out to talk after the game, we rip on them for
exactly.
Not
exactly.
So we got to eat our own medicine here, and we should be accountable just like we expect everyone else to be.
If your reasons for not making your votes public are you have to have a hard conversation with a PR guy at the team you cover, or you're mad about getting yelled at Twitter, then just don't vote. Just tell someone, give my ballot to somebody else, because then you can just do it that way. It's pointless. I believe there are people milling about outside the office here. I think that means we got to go. So, yeah, we were joking around, but this is really the last show of the season. I'm pretty sure we're going to be back. I feel confident about being back next season. You never know in this industry. When someone says to you, can I talk to you for a second? It's like when you're a baseball player and the guy calls into the manager's office and he says, yeah, we're letting you go. But here, you never know. But I'm confident that your support of Biscuits will keep us thriving for next season. I have another podcast, so if you want to actually get free agent commentary, which will just pretty much be seriously that these contracts are bad and they overpaid for these guys. You know, tune in over there at Puck Soup. Sean is just going to be shouting things out his window, I guess, right? Because this is it for you.
But you'll be able to hear because it's Ottawa's a very quiet town. So
yeah, so keep reading our stuff. We'll definitely be writing about stuff that's hockey related up until I guess July 3rd, and then we're all probably going to shut it down and not do anything. Hopefully Bob McKenzie will invite me to the cottage and pour me a margarita, but I don't see that happening. But I'll pour myself a beer at some point and be back next season, I believe. So thank you again. We love you. We're sorry we don't get to more of your questions, but we're just so bad at managing time and getting everything done. We don't really get it to enough questions like we should. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Yep, that's it. Thanks, everybody. This was a lot of fun, and hopefully we will talk to you again next year, and enjoy your summer.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.